Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed. This is Marek Larwood.
Hello, film lovers. Welcome to this podcast, which is a chat about films that we've seen. It's Marek, David, and any other noises from Buddy, the dog, who's David's dogs. And the good news is that, yes, having been castrated, he's possibly even more excitable than he was before.
Which is weird. But yes, he's recently been done, as they say.
Do you mind me talking about it?
No, not at all. It's not perfectly natural, is it? It's a deeply unnatural act. But it's perfectly normal.
So if you're feeling a bit down in the dumps, yeah, and you need a perk up,
yeah,
cut your own balls off.
To be honest, no. I mean, we've been trapped in the house for 10 days, just in recuperation mode. And when he came back, he was so drugged up from the... Because they put him under a general anaesthetic and he's got the buster collar, the flea collar thing.
Yeah.
He was so out of it, and it was incredibly depressing for a day. Because he'd just walk around, smack into something, then just stop as if he'd been told off, and then stand there staring into space for 15 minutes before he moved anywhere. It's very sad. He didn't know what was going on.
Well, it's all part of the learning process.
Yeah, but we've all been there.
Yeah. But we're not here to talk about dogs getting their knackers chopped off. We're here to talk about films. And talking of people who may need their knackers chopped off, yeah, you've been to see a film this week.
Yes, I have been to see The Expendables 3.
Why?
Because I enjoyed The Expendables 1 and 2, and so I thought I'd see the third one of the franchise. Let me put a caveat on that. I know exactly what The Expendables are in terms of what kind of films they are. They are trash. They are complete trash, but I sort of enjoy them for being trash at the same time. This one is the third one. They have expanded the cast.
Expandables.
The Expandables is really what it should be called. The way I see The Expendables is, it's like the end of term cabaret of Hollywood, but of a particular generation of
end
Hollywood.
End of career Hartman. Cabaret.
End of career cabaret. Where, you know, you just go, can you come down for a couple of days? You get to hold a gun, something will explode, and we'll hang out. You just go, yeah.
Are they even trying? They're just doing it. Yeah. It's like filming a fun holiday.
Well, this is the thing. This is actually, better than the first two.
I'm going to look up on IMDb to confirm whether...
6.3. Basically, they are mercenaries led by Sylvester Stallone, who plays Barney, and his right-hand man, Lee Christmas, played by Jason Statham.
But he's not even old.
Jason Statham's 47.
You're kidding me.
I am not kidding you.
What, he's aged 10 years just to be in Expendables?
That's right. He wanted it so much.
You think that's what happens? There's always people in their 40s and late 30s trying to make up their 30.
Yeah.
And when you get to 40-something, you've got to put 10 years to be in Expendables.
Absolutely, yeah.
Even the posters, it's just a list of famous people's names. I'm looking at it on IMDb, if you look at the picture.
Yeah, see if I can do it. Okay, because I think there's 13 of them on the poster.
On the poster, can you name who's
so
on the poster?
So, Sylvester Stallone, mm-hmm, Jason Statham,
yes,
Terry Crews,
yes.
Then Wesley Snipes has been added to this one, because he was, yeah, supposed to be in the first one, but he was in prison for tax evasion. There's a lovely little joke about that in this film. We've added Antonio Banderas, mm-hmm, Harrison Ford,
Yes.
Weirdly, Kelsey Grammer is in here.
What?
Yeah. Famous Hollywood hard man, Frasier. Then you've got Jet Li and Arnold Schwarzenegger are back.
Mm-hmm.
Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, is he on it?
Yeah, yes, Dolph Lundgren's yeah. there. And then you've got the new kids, who I don't know quite so well. So there's Ronda Rousey, who is the MMA fighter, who's fantastic.
Yeah.
Then you've got Kellan Lutz, who's from yes. who's a young guy from the Twilight movies. Then you've got some guy called Ortiz, something Ortiz.
Victor Ortiz.
Victor Ortiz, who's a boxer. And then just some bloke, and I don't know who he is.
Robert Davey.
There you go.
So you did all of them apart from that one. That is incredible.
Yeah. Antonio Banderas is really fun. He's a new addition to this. He is the sort of comedy character, really. Oh, and Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson's the baddie.
Does he make jokes about himself being a sort of slightly racist? Was he Mel Gibson? I can't remember what's wrong with
him. He's the bad guy. I think that's as much of a nod to his darkness as they do. But I tell you what, it's a 12A, this film, which I wasn't expecting because the previous ones are so violent, like gory violent.
Yeah.
And it works better as a result of it. It doesn't pull its punches. It is phenomenally bloodlusty.
Is it a comedy or an action?
There's gore in it. It's like, you know, it's an action film. It is an action film, but it's got a lot of sort of banter in it. And the banter's rubbish, but that's part of why it's so fun. But what it does have, which is odd, is the sort of Sylvester Stallone brand of sentimentality. So all of them are sort of lovable teddy bear characters who just happen to kill about 800 men each during the course of this film. But they all sort of love each other and their parents, and they're all very respectful.
Oh, okay, so nice you guys know. Who kill.
Yeah.
Basically, nice guys can kill people.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. But there is one woman in it, Ronda Rousey, who is, as I said, an MMA fighter. And actually what I thought was bizarrely refreshing for this kind of testosterone-filled boy fest was, although there's no other women for her to talk to, they don't over-sexualise her at all. She is just another one of the gang. And she just kills a load of people just like they do, and banters just like they do, and there's no sort of, but she falls in love with the sexy one because she's a woman. There's none of that.
Is there homosexuality in it?
It's the most homoerotic military film since Top Gun, I'd say.
Do any of the guys
in
have
fact,
sex with
they
each other?
They heavily imply at the end that
they're all bumming.
No, that Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jet Li are doing it.
What do you mean heavily comply? There's like a
Sly says get
back.
A room to them when they and they sort of laugh coquettishly and Arnold Schwarzenegger lays on Jet Li's shoulder.
Oh, okay.
And the director has said, yes, it's possible they are.
So he would be the bummy rather than the bummer.
Well, I don't want it. The visuals, I mean, I just the logistics there. I mean, Jet Li is a tiny man. So
you don't know until they've got their trousers off. Okay. So but
I'm glad you went down that blind alley. But no, I mean, genuinely, it's daft. If you don't enjoy gun violence, then you won't enjoy this at all.
Was anyone else in the cinema?
Yeah, plenty of people.
Really?
I tell you what, actually, it's one of these cinema experiences I should probably mention. The film went up 20 minutes late.
Uh-oh.
We were all sitting there with the same rubbish, you know, usually the American Beauty soundtrack, isn't it, playing in the cinema before the film starts. And we were told that they were going. There was a problem with the projector, and they were going to just skip some of the adverts.
Oh, they came out and said,
They actually had to come and say something. And we had this really awkward situation where one guy sort of thought to make a sort of blitz spirit community atmosphere out of it, who was sitting about five seats to my left, and he said, "So, hey guys, how is everyone? I've been in a lot of movies myself, actually." But the music was still playing. I was the nearest person to him, but he hadn't spoken directly to me. And I couldn't be bothered shouting over the music to make friends with a guy when a film could be about to start. So I just ignored him, and so did everyone else. Half an hour into the film, he got up and left.
Really?
Yeah, clearly just too ashamed.
Really upset.
But I thought it was a weird opening gambit. I've been in a lot of films myself.
You could have got him on the blooming podcast.
That man. was Jerry Seinfeld.
He could have turned things around. He could have been our greatest guest.
I don't know who he was.
He looked too young to be in loads of art films.
Oh, you'd have known him. You'd have gotten on well.
Do you like obscure French art films that no one else really watches? Great. Okay, we're doing a podcast. It's
come to my house now. So that was weird. 3.
I can't believe people still watch this crap.
It's trashy fun. The third act is actually really good because they basically copied The Raid again. So they get trapped in one location and it's just a proper action fest. But there's some fun. It's fun. It is a fun film. And this one is... Oh my God, the dialogue is better than the clunksome dialogue in 1 and 2. It's actually improved a lot.
Well, Expendables 2's got 6.8.
Oh, but the Expendables 2 is terrible. The Expendables 2 is the worst one of them, I'd say.
I saw the first one and I thought it was total bollocks. Every 2 years. So, Expendables 4, 6.5 the Expendables.
So they've made increasingly less money with every sequel.
Well, they've got to pay all the stars, haven't they?
No, but as in it, takings before they worked that out. Just takings, it's made each one has made less. So this one is considered a flop already.
Oh well, the first one he directed the first one, Sylvester Stallone.
He
didn't direct this one.
No.
He wrote it.
He did write it.
He's got a really high IQ, isn't he, Sylvester Stallone? Apparently,
has he? That's what I've heard.
A lot of people who can't speak properly are deceptively intelligent.
Is that right? They've just got too many thoughts.
Exactly, David.
Whereas I only have one thought at any time.
Most coherent, articulate people are very, very stupid because they've got nothing to confuse them on their path to getting across what they say.
It's good to know.
I'm going to make a coherent effort.
Yeah?
Not a coherent effort. There we go. My thoughts interrupt.
Yeah, too many of them.
Concerted effort.
Yes.
Not to say
Oh, do you say it too much? Week.
I listened to last week's podcast and there was a lot of erring.
Oh, dear.
So sometimes it's best just to be quiet in the silences.
Do I do it?
We both did it a bit, but I did it more than you. So, how many Davies will you give it?
It's probably 5 or 6. 5 or 6.
There we go. So don't watch The Expendables ever.
No, it's fun. It's fun. It's a roller coaster.
Talking of roller coasters,
A little one, like with the ladybird ones. You know, it's like a ladybird roller coaster.
Okay, for old people.
The one that don't have bars that go down. It's just, you know, it doesn't go fast enough to throw you out of it.
All right. Okay. Well, if you like hanging around children's playgrounds, watch The Expendables 3. Do you know what? It's time for the letters section.
All right. Who's written in, and what the hell do they want?
Jane has written in, and since you're not reading, you can read it. Here we go. I've got a cold coming. Apologies.
Oh, okay.
My sniffling.
What voice does Jane have?
A woman's voice.
A woman's voice. I'm very good at those. Dear David, Marek and Buddy the dog, hope you've had a good film summer so far. I've seen the Lego Movie, awesome and cool. Then Toy Story 3 and some other cartoon favourites from off the DVD shelf. I have also indulged in some old black and white films and sci-fi classics from the telly. Buddy's a bit cross about that. I was listening recently to the podcast and you were talking about films with Hunter or Hunt in the title. Have either of you watched Night of the Hunter starring Robert Mitchum? I saw it on TV in my teens. It's got lots of slow build tension and suspense. It's a good, very evil tale and has some good scary moments, like when you find out what happened to the mother. When the children go through the swamp, you don't really know who's going to win until right near the end. Okay, maybe you do know that the good might win, but apparently the director didn't like children, so there is a bit of jeopardy in there. Films from the 50s don't seem to be so popular at the moment, but I think this one is brilliant. Give it a try. Regarding guests, are Margaret Cabon Smith and Lizzie Roper too busy at the moment?
Yes.
Yeah. Will the budget allow a bribe of a cornetto or something while they watch a film with you? And it's always nice to hear Tom Tuck and Humphrey Carr. Best wishes, Jane.
Tom Tuck and Humphrey Carr are go-to guests.
Go-to guests. Because we know they have nothing else to do. P.S. August the 15th. Really good sirens. Elvis made 2 films with blue in the title. See previous email. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you very much, Jane. Thanks for writing in. If you do want to write in, you can do.
You can email us filmfandango@gmail.com.
Or
if you want to just chat with other Film Fandango listeners, then go to Facebook.com/filmfandango.
Or
you can tweet us at Film Fandango.
Or
at Mr. David Reed or at Merrick Larwood.
Or
if you would like to simply not communicate with us, just send us your hard-earned cash, then you can do so by going to filmfandango.co.uk and following the link from there. And donations is the only way we can carry on doing this.
All of the money that gets sent in goes to a disabled, terminally ill child who we never reference or speak about.
Yeah, and they take it to the bookies.
They take it to the bookies.
And we've lost every time so far.
They bet on ridiculous accumulators. where £1 can be changed
to
million.
That they barely comprehend.
Yeah.
And we need your money to keep doing that, because one day it will pay for it.
All it is a child who's very ill, logging on to labrooks.com and banging his head against the keyboard. Until he's spent all the money.
That's basically our business model.
One day,
it worked for Bill Gates.
Yeah, there we go. So, talking about Night of the Hunter, if you haven't seen it, it's brilliant. Roy Mitchum plays this evil preacher who sort of chases these kids around this black and white American countryside. That's what I can remember. I remember it's very, very good. There's some great sort of beautiful vistas in it. So watch it if you want to see a great evil villain. They must remake that soon. Have they not remade that yet?
Not yet, but they will. They remake everything.
Yeah, they'll remake that with Seth Rogen as the preacher or something.
I can't wait.
Seth Rogen as the preacher and Justin Bieber as both of the children. And he gets killed in the end of it.
Hooray.
So I went to the Isle of Wight to go and watch the Isle of Wight Film Festival.
Yeah.
But what happened was, I went there for a week and my mum, who's a bit anal about things... I hate using that word because it's suddenly different. Mm. Anyway, she's a bit very...
Uptight.
Yes, that's a better way of using it. I don't think you should ever use mother and anal in the same sentence.
Mother and tight is borderline.
Okay, she's very... she's overtly organised.
Okay.
Stringent, yes. Yeah. I arranged to go and watch it with some friends with my friend. My mum said, you can't go that day because I've arranged for my brother and my niece and nephew to come round on the day I was supposed to go to the film festival because she has to organise things.
Yeah.
So I ended up watching lots of films. I watched The Pianist with my nephew and my mother, which I amused myself and my nephew by calling it The Penist. So my mum started saying, I can't believe you're 38 years old. And you still find it funny to call a film use that word. And I said, I'm trying to say it right, it's The Penist. So if you want to have fun, just watch The Penist with your mother and refer to that.
Or Adrian Brody's The Pianist.
Penist. And try
is Adrian Brody actually any good? Because I've only seen him in King Kong, which is a terrible film.
All he does is he just sort of plays weirdos in, what's his name? Wes Anderson films now. Hmm. Apparently you can have a career. Once you get mates of Wes Anderson... That's what I'd like to do.
Yeah.
You just get put... It's 10 films. Done.
I can see you in his films.
Who would I be? I'd be some...
You can be Owen Wilson's disabled friend.
I just have to smash my nose up so it looks like a penis. Sorry, I've taken this down a really unpleasant route. So I watched that. I watched a really mental film called Mindhunters.
I like the sound of it. It's got hunt in it.
It's got Christian Slater in it.
Right.
LL Cool J.
I was thinking about Christian Slater only yesterday. Where is he?
Old.
What's he up to?
I was with my friend Paul, who's a friend of the podcast, who he made his independent film. We talked about it a few times before, and we went back to watch the film festival, which I didn't actually watch. Mindhunters. It was a really big budget film, directed by Rennie Harlin, who sort of made... what did he do? A few more. Oh, I'm trying to look up now. He's done famous. Like Cliffhanger, he did Long Kiss Goodnight.
Great.
Deep Blue Sea, sort of weird action-y films. This was a lost film in which FBI experts get sent to an island to learn about psychological profiling. And one of them's a murderer and they all get killed. The premise is so ridiculous, but it is strangely, weirdly entertaining because the death scenes are great. So watch that. But
Mindhunter.
Yeah, it's a
lost... What has happened to Christian Slater? Because I can't think of seeing him in a film since The Hollow Man 2.
This was 10 years ago, and also Val Kilmer's in it as well. And you can both see both of them. Their faces... You know, they're both Val Kilmer... There was a thing recently on Facebook that showed actors how they've got really ugly as they get older.
Yeah.
Their features were sort of perfect. Their faces have got really fat and their features have stayed the same.
Yeah.
So they both look really odd. So this, you can both see them on the turn in this film. And this is 10 years ago. So I imagine they're both sitting somewhere at some fat face camp. I apologise to Christian Slater if you're listening to this.
He will come and kill you. He doesn't understand
and
social
to,
conventions.
Val Kilmer. They must be doing some TV series.
They would be the worst two people to get trapped in a lift with, I think. I think that would be intolerable company.
Well, they take up
a lot of the oxygen, but just they would. I think they'd be on. Do you know what I mean? I think they'd be on all the time.
They should make a film with them called Fatheads, in which.
And then Fatheads 2, where you get a bigger cast, like The Expendables.
All the other people whose faces have got really fat and their features haven't grown.
Well, Mickey Rourke.
There we go, this one as well.
He's got a really fat head.
Save him for Fatheads 3. So that's something I'd be intrigued if listeners have watched that. I watched two documentaries, because I've been to watching sports documentaries. One called The Motivation, which is about skateboarders, young skateboarders entering the skateboard competition. All you have to do to make a sports documentary is just follow some fly on the wall thing about eight skateboarders,
yeah.
Then film the competition at the end.
Well, because the competition in itself has jeopardy built in. So if you just follow a normal person in their life, nothing interesting may happen.
Yeah,
but someone entering a competition has already got an arc.
So I'm going to stop.
They're either going to win or lose.
I'm going to make a documentary about my own sport.
Okay.
In the next year, I'm going to make up a sport and try and be world champion of it and make a documentary about it.
Well, if you tell very few people about it, I think you could be world champion quite easily.
Imagine that if I still lose. Anyway, stay tuned and give me some money. Anyway, that is mildly entertaining. And there's one's a bit more entertaining. It's called Ping Pong, which came out a couple of years ago. And it follows six entrants into the over 85. It's the Veterans Ping Pong Championships in China. And there are six entrants in the over 85 ping pong championships.
Wow.
So there's a woman from America who's 89. There's this bloke called who's 89.
Are these ex-competitors from their youth, or have they picked it up in their dotage?
They picked it up late. There's a woman from Australia who's 100 years old, and she says that ping pong's helped her to keep living. She can't move at the table.
Blimey.
She's just standing there.
How fast a game is it?
It's really slow, but it's fascinating. And I you can't help watching it thinking, could they still beat me? Could they still? Probably could. They probably could still beat me.
How far away from the table are they? Because I know in professional ping pong, they're sort of like 100 yards. So
it's not like that. It's very slow. It's like watching, but it's heartwarming in a way. And thanks to my friend Paul Allen, who recommends to me, because you're just seeing these old characters never on TV entering in this sort of sports drama context of a documentary, which you're used to that sports
Great.
Documentary, but it's about 85-year-olds. So, and they're just talking about how they can't. One's on his inhaler in between because he hasn't got the energy because he's had his half his lungs collapsed and he's just recovering from some sort of.
It sounds quite like The Expendables.
It is. If The Expendables sports documentary. It's the perfect. Watch The Expendables.
Yeah.
And if you want to see the real life version of that, watch Ping Pong, and it's available on iTunes. You can rent it for about £2.50 or something for a nice, if you're getting really depressed like I am, your life is over. If you live to your 89, there's a good chance you can become the world champion ping pong player. But they go all the way out to China, these people. I don't
Supposedly,
know how many people died during
the wedge the... does get a lot thinner the older you get. I mean, if you can hold on in there, you could become the world champion of a lot of things.
Just start doing... I think of the sponsorship as well.
Yeah. I'm sure it's a huge market for octogenarian ping-pongists.
I would watch that on TV.
I would too.
Anyway, they're all interesting characters. They've got their life stories. They're all something more interesting than these skateboarders who are these... It's quite interesting, two back-to-back documentaries.
One was about young...
One's about young people who are fundamentally boring and just and they're all really rich, and they're walking around their houses, which are these huge pads, and they've got this entourage of skateboard hangers-on. They've all got sponsors, and they're doing these amazing skateboard skills. And then at 2 hours later, I'm watching these people taking you through their old drawers and sort of moving the lace downing from the top of their thing. Well, I've got a few. This one here is gold from Belarus, 2004. And there's this old bloke called Dick. I mean, his name's Dick or something like that. He keeps memorised those quotes. He used to be a bodybuilder, and he keeps giving these odd sports quotes and poems which don't make any sense whatsoever. And it follows him and this these two German women who are 89 and 90. And it's quite a heartwarming story. And this one lady, she had a stroke and she was getting really ill. She couldn't even hold it back properly. And the doctor, and she went to ping pong, the German ping pong club, and actually recovered from it because of her brain teaching her how to hit the ping pong ball.
Wow.
But so if you want to watch The Expendables and Ping Pong, two films about old people, that's something to look forward to. But also check out Mindhunters, because I did not know how this film ever got made. Completely mental film.
Maybe they found Christian Slater and Val Kilmer already on Fat Face Island.
And LL Cool J and all these other actors. There's a guy who plays one that is in Capote, he plays one of the villains, a great actor, but the lines are terrible. But there's obviously shitloads of money gone into it and just got lost. So say what you think about Mindhunters and Ping Pong. There we go. My cold's really kicking in, so I can't be able to talk anymore.
All right. Well, I think that's probably enough for this week. We'll be back next week with more films and a guest. Exciting times. You have anything else you want to say? You look like you want to say something.
No, that's it.
All right. Keep watching the films.
Keep watching the films. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.